Thank you, Dan. Thank you, worship team. Got a few minutes left before we'll call it a morning, and I do want to share a few things with you that that came forth out of our strategic planning days, just so that you can hear some of these initiatives and what you're seeing coming across down here that will be up on these easels are the different poster boards that represent the different work groups for these different initiatives. I know that you can't see all of them in detail. I encourage you to look after we're finished today, but I just want you to see these as a visual representation of quite a bit of work that was actually done on those 2 days, and work that will continue to be done throughout the next year, and would encourage everybody to be a part of one of these teams, and we can certainly help you get connected with those who are leading if you have questions. But right here in the middle, these are the strategic initiatives that you see right around here. And what you see on this part of the poster board talks about catalysts for growth. These are some of the good things that were identified by that group of 60 who were there. And what they did is they took all this work and boiled it all down and put it on one sheet right here. And we talked about some of our strengths as a church. We talked about how we've got some really great strategic mission partnerships that have been formed over this last year, and that we're building on those, both to reach our community locally and to reach folks across the seas in Dominican Republic and Honduras. And man, it was beautiful last week with our friends from the Vietnamese church, our Vietnamese friends baptizing 8 new converts right up in our baptistry. Man, what a great example of how God's using some of these strategic mission partnerships. I hope that today at 4 o'clock you'll come back to our fellowship hall. Those who've been out serving in different mission capacities are going to be sharing today. I hope that you'll be there. I think that information was handed to you when you walked in. But man, we feel like this is a real strength that we want to continue building on. The folks who are there said, man, we really have confidence in our staff and feel like God's brought a great team to lead from a staff end of things. We talked about how we've got really good facilities around here. There's some upkeep that needs to continue happening, and there's plans to do that, but we've got great space to meet, to worship in, to bless others in our community. We talked about how there's a real dedicated group of people that call Arapahoe Road home, a dedicated core that's growing, people who are Christ-led and who are giving leadership, who are giving, who are incredible when it comes to hospitality and who love others so well. We talked about how we want to just continue looking at the things that come before us from that Psalm 5:12 lens that we've been looking at this past year, about how God lays in our laps good gifts, and how when God lays something right in the middle of our lap that we weren't out looking for or digging for or trying to find, when God just puts it right in our lap, we just say, yes, Lord, what is it that you want us to do with that good gift? And we feel like God's been blessing as we've been living life that way. Do we have some inhibitors, some things that we need to identify and work through and work around? Sure, we still have debt. We still have about over $3.1 million of debt, and we want to work to continue to knock that down and encourage people to give, to remove and release us from that debt. One of the things that was on here was trust issues, and then beside it, it says the past. And anybody live in a perfect family? Raise your hand. That has no past? All perfect? You neither, huh? Yeah, me neither. We've all got stories. We've all got things that have happened in the past that breach trust from time to time, that cause us to go, okay, what's going on there? Hey, that's natural and normal. Things have happened in the past of Arapahoe Road, way in the past and kind of middle past, even in this past semester. And we're working through it. And we're building trust with one another. And we're continuing to trust in the Lord to lead us forward. We talked about one of the inhibitors is a lack of communication. That's something we've got to continuously work on and continuously try to communicate better and more clearly. We identified an inhibitor that few people are really inviting and witnessing to others. That's not something you hire out. That's something that God's invited you to be a part of. And so we want to talk about that more this year. Talked about how less than 20% of the members are tithing. That's an inhibitor. Talked about we've got some technology issues that we need to work on. A fear of change may be an inhibitor. Had some conversations about that. Some even said, you know, for some there's just apathy. There's just apathy. And man, if you feel apathetic, I pray that the Lord would begin, even this morning, to infuse your heart with a fresh spirit, a new spirit, a renewed spirit, because he wants you to be great, and he wants you to be a part of greatness. He wants you to be on that team that's assembling week by week and being in community with the Lord and with others and being on mission. And so what are those strategic initiatives that were mentioned here? Well, obviously, we've already talked about generosity. Don't need to hit that again. We've talked about assimilation during that time. What's that? That's just helping people who come onto our campus know how to be a part, get plugged in, and be who God wants them to be. A real clear path from the time they drive onto the parking lot until they are released to be on mission out in our community. And we've got a team that's going to be looking at that and how we can do that better and more effectively and communicate that in the coming year. Phil Porter is our staff representative that's leading us in that. We talked about continuing with facilities and safety and security, a technology master plan. George Butler and the building and grounds team and others are working on that right there. That's something that we were doing this past year and we're continuing into the next year. Great things are happening. Improvements are being made. Plans are being made to continue to make Arapahoe Road facilities all that it can be. We want to strengthen our life groups and continue to put great leaders in place and train up leaders who can train others and make our life groups all that they can be. We talked at length about prayer and evangelism and growing, and that's something that we certainly want to do. We want to saturate this next year in prayer. We want to saturate this next year with tools that will allow you to engage with the Lord Jesus in prayer. If your prayer life has kind of been a little shaky, been a little down in the dumps, man, there's some things on the way that we want to put into your hands and invite you to. Do you know that every single Sunday at 8:30, a group gathers in the library, if not in the library, in our prayer room over here, and we just pray for God to move during our times together on Sunday morning. Be a part of that. It's been growing incredibly since those strategic planning days, and we want you to be a part of that as well. On the 18th of August, a couple of weeks from now, we're going to have a great time together on Sunday evening from 6:30 to 7:30 over in our Family Life Center. We're going to have ice cream together. It's going to be a great time. But before we leave, we're going to hand everybody a prayer strategy so that every day you've got a new focus to pray about. So be a part of that time on August the 18th where we share ice cream and then we pray together before we leave. In evangelism, we want to be God's light right here in this community. We want to reach people with the gospel. And I want to talk about that a little bit more in a few minutes. One of the other issues on here, strategic initiatives, is simply called governance. And if you're a football fan, nobody really just sits there, unless you were one, sits there and watches the line and just goes, "Yay, blockers!" They're all sitting there going, "Score the touchdown, running back, great pass, quarterback, super catch, wide receiver." But if you don't have the guys up front, you're not going to score. Governance is kind of the line in the church. And one of the things that that group that was gathered said, hey, we need to focus on this a little bit more, is the issue of governance. Over the past semester, there was a group that I pulled together to look at our governance structure, our bylaws and constitution, and go, hey, are we in good alignment? Are there some things that we need to tweak or modify or overhaul as we move into the future to be who God wants us to be? And a tremendous amount of work was done on that. Actually, there was a proposed bylaw and constitution revision back in June. There were about 70 people that showed up for that business meeting. 60% voted for those changes. 40% voted against those changes. And so a majority voted for, but you have to have 75% is what our constitution and bylaws say if you are going to revise. And so we said, okay, well, the majority said yes, but there was still a significant portion that said no. And so we said, hey, what do we do with that? And the group at strategic planning said, let's find out why they said no. Maybe it was an education thing. Maybe there were questions. Maybe there were some things that people didn't understand. Maybe there's some tweaks that need to be made or some total overhauls that need to be made. But there are some things that we need to look at as a church. The bylaws and constitution that are revised are 23 pages. Some of you have read them. Others of you haven't. There are hard copies out here at the Welcome Center. But I realize that some are going, I'm just not ever going to read that. I'm just not going to do it. And so one of the things that the team that was working on this particular initiative did, they made a Cliff Notes version. On your pew row, at the end of the road, there's a little thing like this. Would you grab it and pass it down? I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this, but I want to make you aware of something. And what you'll see are some Q&As, okay, some questions and some answers that may begin to help get your mind around why this is important, why we're doing this now. There's some terms on here that we've tried to define for us all so we can all be on the same page. And just kind of looking at that front part there, the first question just says, why do we have bylaws in the Constitution? There's an answer. Why is Arapaho Road a Texas nonprofit corporation? I realize right there some people just dinged out on me. That's okay. That's okay. But if you keep going, it says, what kind of governance can a church have? And it gives some different options. What are the characteristics of the different kinds of church governance? Flip the page, if you would. On the back side of that page, the question, which form of governance do the proposed changes endorse? It talks about that. Key next question. And I want to read this because if those who aren't here this morning but are watching online, I want you to see this. And there's a place on our website where I'll point you to in just a minute where you can see all of this. But it says, why do we need to make these changes now? As a part of the Arapaho Road Aslan Project, last year's strategic planning, okay? All this stuff that we're doing this morning, when we did that last year, what came out of that, we decided to investigate strategic possibilities for accomplishing the Great Commission to the fullest. And as part of these investigations, we identified inconsistencies and inefficiencies in our existing governing documents and decision-making processes, and we need to address these problems in order to provide a firm foundation for fulfilling our God-given purpose. And you can see that there's some things that have changed over the last few years in the Texas Business Organizations Code and things of that nature that we need to get ourselves into alignment for. Whatever we do, what we have right now cannot be what we have going into the future. We have to make some adjustments. And so here's what is being proposed. On the very back page, look at the very back page. We want input. And here's how we're going to get input. Next Sunday and the Sunday after, the 11th and 18th, in your life groups, as well as at 4 p.m. in the fellowship hall, we want to listen, those who've been working on this particular initiative. And these are the questions that we're going to ask people to feedback, to give us input on. Now, it's going to be helpful to give informed feedback, so you may need to go back and read the bylaws if you haven't done that. And all of that is on our website, and it shows you exactly on our website where it's at. If you don't want to go to the website, you can pick it up right out here at the Welcome Center. We're going to ask these four questions. What I liked about the new proposed constitution and bylaws are, so give us feedback. What do you like? Second thing, what concerns do you have? Tell us what you're concerned about. If there's something you're uneasy about, is there something you don't understand or you need more explanation? The third question. And then if you think we just left something out altogether that needs to be added, let us know. Let us know. And so over the next couple of weeks, that team will be receiving that feedback. We want your input. We want you to own this. And then after the 18th, that team will go back and we'll take all that input and we will do revision to the bylaws and constitution and bring that back for the church at large to look at on September the 8th. We'll have a follow-up of Q&As where we can talk through the revisions that have been made based on the input that's been given, and then we will vote on the new revised bylaws and constitution that are being proposed on Sunday, September the 29th. Okay, so we've got a couple months to walk through that process, and then what we'll do is, depending on what has changed and what's voted upon, that'll give us October through January to make any necessary adjustments. So The committees that are in formed right now, we'll push those to continue functioning through the end of this 2013 and make any adjustments as needed, okay? That's a lot. I realize that. And you're going, wow, I like the prayer and evangelism stuff, but the governance stuff, you guys fix it. No, no, no. Work with us. Work with us. But here's what I'm really excited about, if you want to know the honest truth. It's about neighbors that are moving into this neighborhood that we've had the privilege of being a part of for many, many years. We've talked with you about these new friends. It's a charter school, International Leadership of Texas Charter School, and God's laid them right in our laps and us in their laps. And I want to invite Eddie Conger to come and just, I want to introduce you to him. Would you help me to welcome Eddie Conger this morning? Eddie is the superintendent of the new charter school. Eddie, thanks for being here. I know your life has been crazy trying to figure out where all those kids who are going to be going to high school are going to actually get their education. And we really believe, like, it's right here. And I want to also welcome the principal, Nadia Ayala. Is that right? Yes. Would you help us to welcome Nadia? She's here this morning. Eddie, we've got about 5 minutes before we need to wrap our time up. Just tell us a little bit about who you are and about this charter school that God's called you to give leadership to.
I heard the pastor say 5 minutes, so I will speak very, very fast. I'm a native Texan, went to Texas A&M, spent 20 years in the United States Marine Corps as an infantry officer, came back to Texas and was a math teacher at Bussey Middle School, assistant principal at Bussey Middle School, assistant principal at Sachse High School, principal in Dallas ISD. Unfortunately, I was unable to convince Dallas ISD that the Chinese program that we had started there needed to be down to the kindergarten level. Was unable to convince them that students need to be held accountable, a whole bunch of other things. And then last fall, we petitioned the state of Texas, the State Board of Education, told them about our idea, and they said, you got it. You're in charge of a charter of about 6,000 kiddos. In February, we came to Garland, asked the city council if we could build a school. February the 4th, they said yes. We started advertising, I think, the very next day. As of today, we have over 5,000 students who have applied. We're authorized 2,900 this first year. You may have noticed our small school that's going up on Shiloh and Beltline, 92,000 square feet. But the high school, we were looking for a place to have our students, and we looked far and wide to find a pastor who had a beard. And so we were very, very happy about that. Our school is a college preparatory school. Starting at kindergarten, kids will learn English, Spanish, and Mandarin Chinese. Our emphasis is on international leadership. It is servant leadership, and our motto is others before self. So it is a great opportunity for our kiddos. And at the junior and senior year, our expectation is that the kids will be going to the community college, on the community college, and that they will graduate with a high school diploma and a associate's degree from Richland College. So it's pretty intense, pretty rigorous, and high expectations on the student behavior side as well.
Yeah. Eddie and I have had a good opportunity to pray together before today to get to know each other. He's been working with some different folks from our church. And, man, I really appreciate your heart, Eddie. And we were looking at that governance, at the domains of society slide earlier, and just, you know, some medicine, justice system, education. I know you're a man of faith who's a follower of Christ, and you have to walk this line carefully, but tell us, just as a follower of Jesus, what do you see? Why are you doing what you're doing here?
Great question. I take off the superintendent's hat and just put on the Eddie hat. I grew up in Assembly of God Church in Hillsboro, Texas, and then in high school started worshiping at the First Baptist Church there. And throughout my time at A&M in the Marine Corps, my family as Christians continued to worship in a Baptist church. One of the songs that were popular in the 70s when I went to high school was "They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love," and that sense of service and servanthood is just part of what called me to go into the Marine Corps. And then when I retired, it's what called me to go into education. I had an Aggie Marine hookup at Merrill Lynch. Called them and told them, no, thank you. I want to continue serving in the classroom and in school leadership. I think it's a great opportunity for our students to be in a church. The First Amendment, of course, allows the kids the free exercise of religion, but the First Amendment also restricts us on the establishment clause. I cannot get them together and preach at them, but we can live our lives, hopefully, as humble servants so that they can see a difference. I think the beauty of this opportunity is that the students will be in your Sunday schools or life groups now. So on Sunday, please pray for the students. Please pray for the teachers. And you let them know that you're Christians by your love. And I think it's an incredible opportunity. We will have next year 190 Chinese students who will be living in our student apartments along with some of our Chinese teachers and some of our American teachers. So I think you don't have to travel all the way around the world to have the opportunity to share the gospel. Like Frank Sanchez Assisi said, go out and preach the gospel. But if you have to, use words. So I think it's going to be a great opportunity to share that in that regard.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited about the opportunity just to rub shoulders with people that we normally might not have the opportunity to rub shoulders with, who may not come here first. But what's been amazing is just hearing how, through different meetings that have been taking place on our campus, how some of us have already had the opportunity to meet some of those parents and those families who are looking for churches. I think about those Chinese students who are going to be moving here when the dorms get built, and they're probably not going to have Texas driver's license, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Our student ministry will be within walking distance, and just to think about the relationships that we'll have an opportunity to make and to foster for a long, long time. Eddie, I am really, really glad to call you my friend and to call you our neighbor. Welcome to the neighborhood.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you. One quick thing about the students being here. I know in some folks of mine it causes them great fear and trepidation. Returning from China, I can promise you that when I spoke with the parents, their number one fear is, how are you going to keep my kid safe? How are you going to keep my kid away from the American drug problem? And so we as Americans are communicating with them that we will have safety for them. We will be able to provide security. And what a great opportunity from my perspective, if they do have within walking distance a family that will be able to reach out to them in many different ways.
Yeah, absolutely. When you think about some of those initiatives that we talked about, our facilities, man, Eddie and his leadership with the school is helping our church to increase our facility capacity. Security is certainly one of those things that the school is saying, hey, we'll work together. We'll help you fund that. We'll help do whatever we need to do to make this a safe place, a place that's up to code in some specific ways. And man, I'm just thrilled that we get the opportunity to serve together and to work together. And I'd love for the church just to stand with me, because one of the things that we talked about doing was praying this year in a different way and with a different fervency. And I want us to pray for Eddie and for the ILT school and for all those families that will be affected by what takes place here in the coming days. Lord, we love you. Thank you for Eddie. Thank you for his heart for you and for his heart for families and for students and for bringing the ILT school right here to our neighborhood that you've placed Arapahoe Road in. Lord, thank you that we get to be neighbors, and over this next year, we get to be roommates. Lord, I know there's going to be challenges. I know it's going to be messy sometimes, but help us, Lord, to learn to love each other, to work together, to have patience and to extend grace and mercy, and Lord, to develop friendships that go far beyond the walls of this building, Lord, that reach to the ends of the earth as students from all over the world eventually will be coming to this place, that we might have the opportunity to befriend them, to share the gospel with them in the appropriate context, and to share our very lives with them. Lord, we look forward to seeing how you're going to get great glory in all this. I pray you'd give Eddie wisdom. Thank you for Nadia. I pray that as she steps into that principal role, that you would use her to lead well. All of the teachers who are going to be coming to this place to teach, Lord, may they sense something different about what happens on this campus and all the families and the students. Lord, some of our own students who are already signed up, I pray you'd use this school in a powerful way to change their lives and to change this world. Lord, we love you and we bless you and thank you that you've called us to be a partnership with this school for such a time as this. We pray these things in Christ's name. And everybody said, help me to thank Eddie one more time, would you?